Today on Rainbow Country, we'll hear from In the Moment Theater Company that's bringing the Lavender Railroad to Toronto. Plus, we'll hear from LGBT recording artists. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. To CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I'm an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Do you want to be on this show? Do you want me to feature your music? Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And once again, thanks to you, on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart, Rainbow Country is in the top 10. We're actually number 7. Yay! Yay for number 7. Not quite number 1, is it? No, sucks to be us. But we'll get there. We were as high as... we were as high as number 3. Anyways. Everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So the Inside Out LGBT Film Festival is on right now and runs until June the 4th. For more information, go to insideout.ca. So this is episode 50. On this episode, we'll hear from In the Moment Theatre Company that's bringing the play The Lavender Railroad to Toronto. Plus, we'll hear from LGBT recording artists. That's always fun. So my friends, are you ready? Because this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Sylvester. You make me feel material.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Feel real? Do you feel matter real? Well, I do. Welcome back. This is Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. And I am your host, Mark Tara. And joining me in studio are a couple people from a theater company that's bringing a production to Toronto. So picture this. Imagine a world in which homosexuality is illegal and punishable by death. This is the premise of the award-winning play The Lavender Railroad, written by Montreal playwright Lawrence Aronovich. I hope I said his name right, but he's going to be joining us via phone a little bit later, so he can correct me or scold me if he'd like. You never know. So The Lavender Railroad makes its Toronto premiere at the Box Theatre, 89 Niagara Street, June 8th to the 18th. Tickets start at $20. For more information, go to itmtheater.com. That's itmtheater.com. Joining me live in studio, he is an award-winning actor, director, producer. He's also an acting coach and has 20 years of experience under his belt. He is Tony Babcock. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, thank you. I feel very welcome after that. Thank you.
Do you feel mighty real?
I do.
You're also directing The Lavender Railroad, and you play a character called Sebastian.
Yes, Sebastian Gray.
Right.
Yes.
Also joining us is the stage manager for The Lavender Railroad, Ray Costin.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for having us.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me. Thanks for choosing my show to be on tonight.
Absolutely.
As we are live on air, it's a bit rainy in Toronto.
It definitely is, yeah. The flood has begun, I think.
Yeah. So let's get to know you guys. Let's get to know you guys, because
sure.
We don't necessarily know all about you. And let's get to find out about your love for theater.
Mm.
And Tony, let's start with yourself. When did you get turned on to theater originally? When did that happen for you?
Sure, yeah. I was very fortunate, actually, that I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, which is a very theater-centric town. I think there's like 5 functioning theaters there, and it's a pretty small town. And
wow.
Like everyone's a theater person. So I kind of grew up in that environment. I remember I was a very young tyke. A young tyke? Is that, do people say that? I don't know.
Sure,
I was very
why
young.
Not?
And I don't even ever say that. I was very young, and I was watching a production of Amadeus, which was a play about Mozart. And I remember I was in the audience, and I saw, you know, just the fun that the actors were having on the stage, and also just the power, I think, of live theater, of like, you know, things just happening on the spot. And I was really, as you said, I was really turned on by it. I was like, this is really interesting. And it was kind of an out-of-body experience. I felt like I was on the stage even though I was in the audience. And right. I think that was the day that I knew I needed to do it. And I think I was like, I don't know, like six or something or seven. I don't know. Why was I watching such a, you know, complicated play at seven? I don't know. But I loved it. It was just, it was a really brilliant moment for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Ray?
Well, growing up, I ended up in a lot of school productions, actually on stage at that age, in like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Scrooge and things like that. And then moving into high school, I ended up doing pit band and all that. And I kind of lost it for a while once I left and moved out for university. But about a year and a half ago, I sort of got forcibly put into the University of Toronto theater community. And I found that working backstage and doing stage management was where I really wanted to be, and sort of found that love for art again. And I basically have refused to leave for the last year and a half.
Wow. So do you find that you're drawn more to the behind-the-scenes aspect of theater?
Yeah, particularly now. Like, when I was younger, it was a lot of fun to be on stage and have right. all the attention and everything like that. But now I get a lot of satisfaction of making things happen and making sure that everything can run smoothly and doing a lot of the logistical behind-the-scenes stuff so that the director and the actors get to be creative and get to bring these stories in a way that they want them shown.
Right. So, Tony, you and a partner of yours created In the Moment Theater Company that's producing The Lavender Railroad. You're directing it.
Yeah.
You're playing a character named Sebastian in it. What is it about The Lavender Railroad, this particular project, that you wanted to bring to Toronto? Why this particular project?
I think the biggest thing is it's so relevant. Unfortunately, it's so relevant and topical. I think...
In what way?
I think right now we all know that we're living in a world that's not always kind to minorities. And I think also, you know, our neighbors not too far from us, there's this kind of resurgence of misogyny that is really coming back. And I think what's interesting about this play is that it imagines this world that would take that to the extreme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not unfathomable that it could happen. Much like, you know, one of the influences was The Handmaid's Tale. You know, I'm sure Lawrence will talk about that when you speak with him later. But The Handmaid's Tale is such a popular TV series that's come back now, originally from the book by Margaret Atwood. And I think the reason it's so popular is because people see the truth in it, and they unfortunately recognize, you know, some of the behaviors from it, from our world today. And I think, you know, when I first heard about it from Lawrence, I was just really excited by the idea of bringing this story to Toronto.
So if, in a nutshell, what is The Lavender Railroad?
In a nutshell. It's a very interesting production that, as I said, it's this imagined world, this dystopian world, where it's illegal to be gay. And it's, you know, it's represented on stage through two different stories, one called Safe House, one called Ex Cathedra. And each one is a very long 45-minute two-hander scene, really, like, you know, because it's just a one single location, two characters,
right.
one kind of small room, and go. And through each piece of the play, you learn so much about not only the world that they're living in, but I think the dynamics of the relationship between them. So, for example, in Safe House, we see Sebastian, who I play, and he is a gay fugitive. So he's on the run from the authorities, and he's been kidnapped by this older gentleman who calls himself Mother Courage. And it's very mysterious, and he doesn't really know where he is or why he's there. And you start to learn through the dynamic of the two characters kind of what's going on in the world. And I don't want to give it away because it's kind of, you know, part of the discovery and the mystery. But it's an interesting connection they have.
So is it a gay play?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, I mean it is, but I think it's...
Are all the characters in it, are they all gay? Or?
No, but they are all, but most are. Three out of the four.
Okay.
Well, possibly four out of the four. That'll be up to Lawrence later. There's one character that's a mystery. But it all revolves around, absolutely, around characters who are... who do identify as gay. And I think it what's interesting is that although we focus on that, it's a very universal struggle.
Right.
You know, much like The Handmaid's Tale talks about women's rights, right? And that could be, you know, substituted with anything, anyone struggling with oppression.
And how long has the process been since you found out about this particular play to now launching it come June? How long of a process has that been?
So although Lawrence originally came up with this play in 2011, he wrote it at the part of the National Arts Center in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. I found out about it just in November of 2016.
Okay.
And it's funny, we had this meeting because Jen, my co-producer, yeah, it's lightning outside.
Wow.
Okay. By a window, we're gonna be blown away. So anyway, Jennifer Valance, my co-producer, she had known Lawrence from Ottawa, and she said, "You have to meet him. You two have to collaborate. He just moved here, I think you'll really, really hit it off." And so we had this meeting, and I think it was like our first meeting. And like a few minutes in, he was like, "Blah blah blah," and the Lavender Railroad, and da da da. And I was like, "Lavender Railroad. Tell me more." And he's like, "Well, it's this play that we, you know, it was staged before in Ottawa, but it's, you know, it's something that's really interesting." And I'm like, "Can I read the script?" And he's like, "Sure." And he sent me the script, and I immediately, I think like the next day, I was like, "We have to do this here right now." And then it's like, "Oh, okay." It takes a little bit of time to put that all together, but I knew immediately. I had this calling as soon as I heard about the play and I read it. I was like, "We need to do this now."
So you started In the Moment Theater Company, yourself and a partner of yours.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
It was actually through this play. This is our first production.
Got it.
It's what's interesting is that I've produced theater and a lot of film before. And I have a company in the city called Improv Your Acting, which is my training company. So I've been training actors for 7 years.
Right.
And originally the idea was to kind of somehow do it through my other company, through my training company. But we kind of wanted to, you know, differentiate and start something new, but still have that essence of what I'm all about, which is, I believe, like, improv is awesome and everyone needs to embrace improv in their lives. And so we came up with this idea, Jen and I, of saying, you know, In the Moment Theater. Audiences are in the moment. They're watching something that's happening on the spot, and it's forcing them to maybe stop worrying about things and really just kind of step up and take action and go, "Wow, we need to change this. This is, you know, a catalyst for something." Yeah.
And Ray Costin, how did you get involved with Tony and In the Moment?
So a friend of mine actually worked with Tony before and saw a post he put on Facebook looking. It was a call for a stage manager for the show. The production had already been planned. They were just looking for a stage manager. And so my friend put me in contact with Tony, knowing that I had been interested in, you know, getting out and actually working in Toronto theater as something that wasn't just a campus production. So I ended up talking to Tony. He sent me the script, and basically it went from there. And I was really excited once I knew what the production was about to be a part of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And why were you excited about it?
Well, when I first saw the script, it was something that really intrigued me, I think. It's hard to explain without giving away everything that happens in the show, obviously, but these conversations that you watch, these two conversations, just kind of grab you and pull you in, and I really wanted to see where that would go.
You wanted to be part of it.
How it would translate to being performed on stage as opposed to just read.
Well said, everyone.
Thank you.
Let's take a little musical break, and let's have a listen to some gay pirates, shall we?
We shall.
Yes, gay pirates.
This is City Councillor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Thank you. Once upon a nautical time, a man sailed into my lips. Now let me tell you, boys, I've spent time living on broken ships. I'll set a course throughout the sea. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'll anchor down my pirate ship when I find a man to steal away. Now pirate love, it's kind of gay, with all that talk of booty and such. But what I mean to say is, there is this guy, I think that I could love him very much. I'll set a course throughout the sea, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'll anchor down my pirate ship, 'cause I found a man to steal away. Love is cliche, I'm sailing through a raging sea of hormones. This disarray of thought will lead me straight to where I mean to feel your chest. Your treasure chest wherein lies my secrets. They're for you to see, be a part of me.
This is Rainbow Country here on CIUT. CIUT's gay radio show, by the way. And that was Evan Westfall with Gay Pirates. I think that song could be in a part of a show, don't you guys think?
Absolutely.
I think
it should be
musical.
In ours.
Yeah. We need a musical about gay pirates.
We
now.
Do. We do.
Again, joining me in studio is Tony Babcock and Ray Costin from In the Moment, a theater company that's bringing the Lavender Railroad to Toronto beginning June 8th to the 18th. And now joining me on the phone is the playwright from Montreal who has written the Lavender Railroad, Lawrence Aronovich. Lawrence, are you there?
I am indeed. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, Lawrence.
Hi, Lawrence. How are you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
We're good. And I'm not kidding, there's a lightning storm happening behind us.
And it that's is, exciting.
Yes, yes.
Welcome. We're taking it as, you know, it's part of our power.
Yes.
Like, we're like Storm from X-Men.
I'm Halle Berry, girl.
Yes, you are.
So, Lawrence.
Yes.
Talk to me about the Lavender Railroad. What inspired you to create the Lavender Railroad?
It's a play I wrote a couple of years ago. It was a time when, you know, here in Canada, we've had it pretty good over the last couple of years as far as the queer community is concerned. It's now perfectly normal for people to get married, to have kids, to not necessarily have to deal with some of the terrible issues that previous generations of queer people in Canada had to deal with, going back at this point maybe a couple of decades. not true in other parts of the world. And even though we in Canada might want to pat ourselves on the back a little bit and say, well, look how far we've come, I think it's important to recognize that we are only one small part of the world. And while we can certainly take pride in our accomplishments to date, I think it's important to recognize that in too many parts of the world, it is not only uncomfortable to be a gay man or a lesbian or transgender, but death-defying. And there's just too many stories in the news these days of people who do find that they get killed because of who they are.
Right.
And so I thought to myself, maybe I can try and address that issue in a small way, try and draw people's attention to that issue in a small way. And I've tried to do that by writing this play.
So did you always want to be a writer, Lawrence?
I've certainly always written in one way or another, but it's been an unusual career trajectory over the years.
How so?
I grew up in Montreal, but went to school in the States and ended up working in the space program in the U.S.
Really?
Before coming back to Canada to work in the Canadian space program.
Wow.
And that naturally led to writing plays, as you can imagine.
Wait, no, I can't.
Here we are.
Lawrence, hold on. I have to stop you there. Sorry. Working in the space program and then making the jump to being a playwright or a writer does not fathom in my mind. How did that happen? Something must have happened.
It was a dark and stormy night, I suppose.
Well said.
I tell people who don't seem to fathom how natural a leap it is, that it's really just, in a way, exercising different parts of my brain to do the same thing,
right,
which is to try and understand how our world works.
Okay.
And one can take a scientific approach to that, try and understand how do planets orbit stars and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take a more psychological approach to try and understand how do human beings work and how do their relationships among themselves work. And going into the space program is a way of answering the first kind of question. Going into playwriting is a perhaps challenging way to try to approach the second kind of question.
Right. So, Lawrence, you wrote The Lavender Railroad.
Yes.
What, if there is, what is the underlying message that you want your audience, when they see your play that you've written, what would you like them to come away with? Is there an underlying message? And if so, what is that message?
Well, without going too far into the nuts and bolts of the story and the plot and the characters and all that kind of stuff, I think of it as a kind of a parable and therefore a cautionary tale for the audience, and hope that they will take away a sense of the world described in the play, which is a very dark and dystopian kind of world,
mm-hmm.
being not necessarily the world that we live in, but the world that we could live in if we aren't careful. And therefore, maybe each of us who hears of the kind of story that The Lavender Railroad tells, each of us might take away a thought about what can I do as an individual to, not to sound trite, but make the world a better place, and therefore not let the story that they've just seen in fact come to pass.
Right.
And there's many ways that one can do that. One can just become politically active. One can try and help someone who is in need, things like that. These are the kinds of things that I think any good play on any sort of topic is going to make happen in an audience. An audience that leaves the theater thinking about what they've seen, talking amongst themselves about what they've seen, questioning mm-hmm. what they've seen, challenging what they've seen, not necessarily even agreeing with what they've seen, If the audience does any of those things, then I think the play has been successful by some measure.
So Lawrence Aronovich, am I saying your last name right?
Yep.
Okay, good. What's coming up for you? I understand that you're working on something new, maybe?
Certainly we are all of us sort of up to our necks in trying to make this show as good a show as it can possibly be, and I certainly feel fortunate to be joined in this little adventure with such talented people as we've got, both the two other people you've got on the show with you, but plus the other actors who are involved in the project. So that's certainly taking a lot of time. I've got a one-off event happening just after this show closes at Buddy's as part of Pride on June the 21st. Two other playwrights and I are putting on what we are calling a queer literary salon. And that involves the presentation of three short plays that each of us has written. Mine is about the British poet W.H. Auden. The other two plays are about other literary figures of a queer bent. And as I say, that's going to be at Buddy's on June the 21st. So I'm very excited about that as well. And I am scribbling away on a couple of new projects, one of which might be of interest in the context of our show tonight. And that's a play about the discovery of a gay gene. What happens to our society if we learn definitively that homosexuality is a genetic condition?
Wow. That would be amazing.
Yes.
That one's going to be a kind of dark comedy, I think.
I have to cut in and say something about Lawrence that he won't say about himself. He is just a masterful writer. His the imagery and the poetry that exists in the writing, yet it's so naturally written that also as an actor approaching it, it's very easy to speak, yet it's so poetic. It's just a brilliant and wonderful honor to work on it. I just wanted to say that while he was here to make him blush. Did it work?
You can't see me blushing.
No, but it's true. It's a really interesting, they're very academic based writing, yet so emotionally pent up. It's nice.
There you go, Lawrence.
Well, all I can say to that is that it is just amazing to watch the actors as they're rehearsing bring these lines on the page to life.
Yeah.
Being a playwright is kind of a strange thing because the stuff you write really isn't what goes directly into the audience's brain. It's got to be done through an intermediary, namely the director, the actor, the designer, all the other artists that are involved in bringing a story to life. And so from the audience's perspective, it would never work. The language can be as poetic as you like, but if you don't have other collaborators who can interpret what's on the page and make it vivid and lifelike, then it's not going to really work.
Well, Lawrence Aronovich, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for creating the Lavender Railroad.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's been great fun chatting with you tonight.
Thanks again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, there you go, guys. Lawrence Aronovich, playwright. Yay.
Yay.
So on that note, let's take another musical break, and let's get into a butt sandwich.
Oh, okay. Not the first time I heard that today.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
We'll be right back. subway all alone, thinking of the fun I'll have when I get home. A man sat down and he was large. His booty almost moved me to the next car. A woman came in and sat abreast. I was thinking which mango is the best. Lost track of my bearings and when I looked up, I was caught between two big butts. Normally, I like me some tail, but this rump's was squeezing so tight, I can't exhale. A woman crossed the aisle, started screaming in Spanish. Dios míos, it's a marriage in a butt sandwich. I was really embarrassed, so I turned to the preacher. He said, let Jesus be your teacher. I said he may be God's son, but he'd still be a burger in a hot cross bun.
Hi, it's Tanya from Girl Play Toronto. We're really excited to launch our Pride Festival this year, starting on June 16th at the Phoenix with Little Debbie from the West Coast. We're also bringing in a whole bunch of new events for this year, including a great comedy show on the Thursday night with Elvira Kurt. Toaster is also part of that lineup. We also have Juice Box, which is a collection of all of the hot parties in Toronto. So just a ton of things. Please check out girlplaytoronto.com for all the information and tickets. You can also find us on social at Instagram at girlplaytoronto.com. Hope to see you there.
And welcome back. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show. And in that musical little break there, we heard Bob Katz with Caught in a Butt Sandwich. A butt sandwich, right? I have to say, that is a very catchy little ditty Bob Katz from New York. How you doing?
New York.
How you doing, Bob Katz?
I lived in New York.
Did you?
Yeah, I never saw any butt sandwiches, but I lived there.
So, Tony Babcock, you wear a lot of different hats. You are an actor, you're a producer, you're directing The Lavender Railroad. You've done voiceover work, you've hosted on Much Music. Do you think that that is something that's unique to Canadian talent in terms of the performing arts, that for us to be viable, we have to wear many different hats and be part of many different aspects of the performing arts?
Absolutely. I think it might not be independent of Canada, but it's certainly more prevalent here. As I said, actually, I said sort of earlier, I was in New York for a little while too, and I find that what I love about Canadians is how resilient we are in this industry, in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. We have to be. You have to kind of, you know, put as many notches on your belt as possible, and as you said, wear a multitude of hats. And I like that. I mean, I like variety anyway. I've always been that way. I don't like I like change. I like to change it up, mm-hmm. and it keeps things interesting. It keeps things exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ray, your station manager, not station manager, your
stage manager.
There's a lot going on.
She's
in my
been
mind.
Promoted. She's now the station manager.
You're the stage manager.
Yes.
For the Lavender Railroad. What does a stage manager do in particular?
So,
or is it more a matter of what does a stage manager not do?
So it's a little different depending on each production that I'm a part of, just because of the different challenges you sort of face, both with the actors you're working with, the space that you're using, what mm-hmm. tech is going on. The most basic explanation I can give of what my job is to do the logistical behind-the-scenes stuff so that the director and the actors can be creative, sort of to keep things running smoothly and make sure everything happens so that the message that they want to show and the art that they want to perform gets shown to the audience. Again, it's all dependent on production.
Sure.
The basic things for stage managers are, you know, scheduling, making sure rehearsals run smoothly. They're the person who, when the show is actually being performed, makes sure all of your lighting and sound cues go off at the right time. They're calling the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of just behind-the-scenes logistics stuff that gets put into it.
So, guys, let's talk about the Toronto theater scene and get you guys your honest opinion. So how would you describe it? Do you think it's thriving? Do you sort of think it's just okay? What are your thoughts on the Toronto theater scene, Tony?
That's an interesting question. I think in some ways it's thriving in the sense that we're seeing more of a resurgence now of bigger theater. You look at like the Mervishes and mm-hmm. you know, and there are a lot more Canadian talent being involved, less tours from the US, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing. But the kind of issue around that is it makes it really difficult for indie theater,
right,
such as us,
mm-hmm.
If we're not part of something like a Fringe Festival or the Next Stage Festival, you don't have a festival behind you. It's really difficult to get those but sandwiches in the seats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it forces you to be resilient and to think outside the box and get creative.
So how are you doing that? How are you getting the word out for this production?
Well, we've approached a few different really interesting avenues. One being obviously like postcarding and putting out postcards and, you know, wherever we can. But we've also really, I mean, the show, as you said earlier, like the show is very LGBT based, and I think it's very important to, you know, to get all audiences out, but specifically the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, theater has such a transformational power. An audience can watch and really feel moved by it, and I think this play is really a great example of that. So we've been really approaching a lot of LGBTQ media. We've been putting the press release out everywhere, and then I mentioned earlier I have a theater training company. improv your acting. And so we're actually doing a playwriting workshop with Lawrence. So basically actors or aspiring playwrights get to come in, learn from Lawrence, work on some of his previous plays, scenes from his previous plays, and then they get a ticket to the show.
Wow.
So, you know, we're just, you know, different ways to get people in.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a labor of love. We're all doing it because we love it and we love this story. So we're not going to cry if our theaters aren't full, but we are certainly doing our best.
And again, The Lavender Railroad makes its Toronto premiere at the Box Theatre, 89 Niagara Street, runs from June the 8th to the 18th. Tickets start at about $20. Mm-hmm. And for more information, you can go to itmtheatre.com. That's itmtheatre.com for more information on tickets, that sort of thing. And you're mentioning something happened recently in terms of the pricing for the tickets, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so what we're doing is $25 at the door or $20 online.
Okay.
So it's so you can go online to the website, as you said.
itmtheatre.com.
And you can purchase your tickets online, and it's in a snap, and they're just, like, ready for you, just like that.
And get your butt sandwich there.
That's right. That's right. Butt sandwich is not included. Yeah.
Oh, gay parrots.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. We're really, you know, we got to call Lawrence back up and ask him to write
Sebastian
in that gay
pirate.
Yeah. That's true, we could.
Tony Babcock.
Yes.
Ray Costin.
Yes.
From In the Moment Theater Company, doing the Lavender Railroad production. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.
Never leave you, I, oh, I, oh, I, I never wanna see you cry, oh, I, oh, I,
okay.
Love you till the day I die.
Come
is made for you and I. Baila conmigo.
Come on, drink up, let's dance some more. Those hips, those eyes, you can't control.
This night is made for you and I. Canta conmigo.
And welcome back. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. This is the station's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your host, Mark Tara. So I just want to thank my guests for being live in studio today. That's such a great thing. The guys from In the Moment Theater Production Company. Don't forget, get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Mark Tara Music. Send me an email if you want to be on the show, want me to play your music, feature your music, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com, and everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you. Taking us out, some Eartha Kitt. Sugar Daddy, honey. Sugar Daddy.
Hi, guys. This is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Champagne to my table. Sugar daddy. silver and gold me. I just need someone to spank me.